ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदाशिव समारंभाम् व्यास शंकर मध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्य पर्यन्ताम् वंदे गुरु परंपराम् श्रुति स्मृति पुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पाद शंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्र भाष्य कृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम श्री परमात्मने नमः मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे परमानंद माधवं यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्र रुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः सांगपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगः ध्यानावस्थित तद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनो यस्यान्तं न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः ॐ श्री परमात्मने नमः कर्मयोगो नाम तृतीयोऽध्यायः अर्जुन उवाच जायसी चेत् कर्मणस्ते मता बुद्धिर्जनार्दन तत्किं कर्मणि घोरे माम् नियोजयसि केशव व्यामिश्रेणेव वाक्येन बुद्धिं मोहयसीव मे तदेकं वद निश्चित्य येन श्रेयोऽहमाप्नुयाम् श्री भगवानुवाच लोकेऽस्मिन् द्विविधा निष्ठा पुरा प्रोक्ता मया नघ ज्ञानयोगेन सांख्यानाम् कर्मयोगेन योगिनाम् न कर्मणामनारम्भात् नैष्कर्म्यं पुरुषोऽश्नुते न च सन्न्यसनादेव सिद्धिं समधिगच्छति न हि कश्चित् क्षणमपि जातु तिष्ठत्य कर्म कृत् कार्यते ह्यवशः कर्म सर्वः प्रकृतिजैर्गुणैः கர்மேந்திரியாணி சம்யம்ய ய ஆஸ்தே மனசாஸ்மரன் இந்திரியார்த்தான் விமூடாத்மா மித்யாசாரஸ் ச உச்யதே யஸ்த்விந்த்ரியாணி மனசா நியம்யாரபதேர்ஜுன கர்மேந்திரியைக் கர்மயோகம் அசக்தஸ் ச விசிஷ்யதே நியதம் குரு கர்மத்வம் கர்ம ஜ்யாயோஹ்ய கர்மணஹ ஷரீர யாத்ராபி ச தே ந ப்ரசித்யேத கர்மணஹ யஜ்ஞார்த்தாத் கர்மணோன்யத்ர லோகோயம் கர்ம பந்தனஹ ததர்த்தம் கர்ம கௌந்தேய முக்த சங்க சமாசர சஹ யஜ்ஞாஃ ப்ரஜா ஸ்ருஷ்ட்வா புரோ வாச ப்ரஜாபதிஹி அனேன ப்ரஸவிஷ்யத்வம் ஏஷ வோஸ்த்விஷ்ட காமதுக் தேவான் பாவயதானேன தே தேவா பாவயந்து வஹ பரஸ்பரம் பாவயந்தஹ ஶ்ரேயஃ பரமவாப்ஸ்யத இஷ்டான் போகான் ஹி வோ தேவாஹ தாஸ்யந்தே யஜ்ஞ பாவிதாஹ தைர்தத்தான ப்ரதாயைப்யஹ யோ புங்க்தே ஸ்தேன ஏவ ஸஹ தைர்தத்தான ப்ரதாயைப்யஹ யோ புங்க்தே ஸ்தேன ஏவ ஸஹ யஜ்ஞ ஸிஷ்டாஶினஸ் ஸந்தஹ முச்சந்தே சர்வ கில்பிஷைஹி புஞ்சதே தே த்வகம் பாபாஹ யே பசந்த்யாத்ம காரணாத்
Krishna, as an answer to Arjuna's question, made it very clear, there is no option or choice between the twofold sadhanas, karma yoga and jnana yoga. They both together, both sadhanams, both means have to be followed. Ultimately, to accomplish the end, moksha, in the form of knowledge. Even though knowledge is the only direct means of moksha, it is the knowledge which itself is moksha. But the knowledge happens to be dependent on the qualification in terms of antahkarana shuddhi, mental purity, and antahkarana naishchalyam, mental steadiness. One has to live a life of karma yoga to become qualified for knowledge. Here, Krishna explained the importance of performing action up to the verse 7. Thereafter, how karma yoga is significant. It means significance of karma yoga is discussing, wherein Krishna presents first karma yoga as an order, a commandment, which means if a person has purushartha nischayaha, knowing, then he becomes aware of the value of knowledge. When the person becomes aware of the value of knowledge, he becomes committed to the pursuit of knowledge. When a person becomes committed to the pursuit of knowledge, then he will definitely become committed to the study of the Shastram with the help of a teacher. When a person starts with the commitment, the study of the Shastram, he will also come to know the importance of the qualification required for Jnanam. His Shraddha in attaining mental purity and steadiness will be as much Shraddha as he has for Jnanam. How important it is for a Jignyasu Bhaktaha, for the one who wants to know, for the one who knows the value of the end, the moksha, for the one who wants to know how important the knowledge is, so important will be the qualification required for knowledge. That is why we always emphasize the question of the knowledge of the value. Knowledge of the value of mental purity and steadiness makes a person commit himself to live a life of karma yoga. So Bhagavad Gita teaches how to live a life of karma yoga. That is why Bhagavad Gita is also called Yoga Shastram. If Bhagavad Gita only reveals the nature of reality and helps you understand the nature of reality as one's own Swarupam, it will be called only a Brahma Vidya. But Bhagavad Gita is also called Yoga Shastram. That is why every time we conclude the chapter, we say what? Om Tat Sat Iti Srimad Bhagavad Gita Su Upanishad Su Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastre. Why? Because Bhagavad Gita is called Bhagavad Gita is Brahma Vidya, because it is the means of knowledge of the reality, Brahman. And it also prepares, it also helps the seeker to prepare his mind to become qualified for this knowledge by helping him to live a life of karma yoga, by teaching him what is living a life of karma yoga. Therefore, it is called Yoga Shastra. That is what you are seeing here. The whole Gita, you will see both these topics being discussed. Not only in this chapter, the whole Gita will be discussing repeatedly the three topics, mainly what? Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, then Jnani's glorification. You will see throughout the Gita. Therefore, here, now Krishna really discusses Karma Yoga in these verses from verse number 8 to 20th, I said yesterday. And here Krishna presents the Karma Yoga as the commandment first. If a person does not live a life of Karma Yoga, then there is no way of freeing himself from bondage of karma. Why? Because freedom from bondage of karma is in fact freeing oneself from wrong notions one has about oneself. So freeing oneself from the wrong notions one has about oneself means having the right knowledge of oneself. So having the right knowledge of oneself means knowing one's own swarupam, the knowledge of oneself, which is self-knowledge. Therefore, self-knowledge is mokshaha. Atma jnanameva mokshaha. And for that jnanam, you need to be qualified. And for qualification, there is no other way. Live a life of Karma Yoga. That is what is said in verse number 9. Thereafter, in verse number 10, 11 and 12, together, Krishna presents how Karma Yoga is a worship of the Lord. Living a life of Karma Yoga is in fact worship of the Lord, worshipping the Lord. There is no real worship. See, the worship, as I explained to you, the worship is expression of one's gratitude to Bhagavan, an action through which one expresses one's gratitude to Bhagavan. So it is a symbolic act of offering. Therefore, through the performance of rituals and through this other forms of worship, one can express one's gratitude to Bhagavan in the form of devatas. Yesterday we saw elaborately how, you know, a person who lives a life of Karma Yoga is highly worshipful. Because a person who lives a life of Karma Yoga is highly sensitive, alert person. In the sense, he acknowledges all that is given to him, that nothing one can create. So only when you really acknowledge that you are blessed with everything that you are enjoying here, that you cannot create anything of your own, and you feel grateful to Bhagavan in the form of devatas, and you express your gratitude. And how do you express your gratitude? Through this act of symbolic act of offering. So that is how you remain connected to, you know, you remain connected to all the Bhagavan of all these phenomena, and that also becomes what? No, Karma Yoga. So Karma Yoga is what? A worship. Being worshipful, being thankful is being worshipful, and being worshipful, explained to you, is also Karma Yoga. And once you are worshipful, once you worship the devatas, Bhagavan of devatas, through the performance of rituals and living a life of karma yoga with proper attitude, with a commitment to dharma, then how those devatas propitiated by you, invoked by you, acknowledged by you, also acknowledge your worship, acknowledge your act of expression of thankfulness, attitude, and they also bless the worshippers with all that they need to live this life. Ishtan bhogan dasyante yajna bhavitaha. That is why devatas are called yajatraha. In Mundaka Upanishad, this word is coming, yajatraha. Devas are said to be yajatraha. Yajanam is a gerund. Yajanam is also worshipping. And yagaha, worship. Yajnaha, worship. The fire ritual performed as a symbolic act of offering to Bhagavan in name of devatas is yajnaha, yagaha, yajanam. And one who worships the Lord, one who expresses one's gratitude to Bhagavan in the form of this innumerable phenomena called devatas, is yajan purushaha, yajan worshipper, worships. Yajantam trayate, trayate means protects. Yajantam trayate iti yajatraha. So devatas are said to be those who protect the worshippers. Protectors of the worshippers are the devatas. Yajatraha. That is what is said here. Ishtan bhogan dasyante means what? Devatas will bless. Once devatas are propitiated and revered, and devatas also reciprocate, they return. How? They will bless the worshippers with the fulfillment of all their righteous desired wishes and ends. Ishtan bhogan dasyante yajna bhavitaha. Yajna bhavitaha devataha ishtan bhogan dasyante. Suppose if a person does not acknowledge the contribution of devatas and he does not feel grateful, and not only does not feel, he does not share, he does not give in return in proportion with what he consumes, does not contribute. Such a consumer, the non-contributing consumer, is said to be stenaha, a thief. Not only those who go and steal are the thieves, even enjoying all that Mother Nature gives and without thinking how much we are consuming, taking, grabbing from this here, we do not return anything, not contribute back anything, then we are mere consumers. The mere consumers are said to be thieves. So, saha, taihi dattan yebhyaha apradaya. They give, taihi means enjoying all that given by these devatas, tebhyaha apradaya, without giving anything in return to the devatas, yaha bhunte, one who eats, one who enjoys, sahastenaha eva, he is a thief. Okay? So we saw this. Now we have to go to the next mantra. In this context, yesterday I discussed Pancha Maha Yajnaha. The one who wants to live a life of Karma Yoga is supposed to follow this Pancha Maha Yajnaha, fivefold worship. So you know them: Deva Yajnaha, Manushya Yajnaha, Bhuta Yajnaha, Pitru Yajnaha, Rishi Yajnaha or Brahma Yajnaha. This is how one can share one's time, energy, earnings, one's possessions, any something or the other for all these beings, fellow human beings or other living beings. Now even sharing time, even remembering the ancestors and doing the needful, that Pitru Shraddhadi Pitru Karma, etc. This is how one can return or contribute in proportion with what one consumes. Even if you can't return a lot, at least something we can try to return, try to contribute. Now, as a third aspect, so not only Karma Yoga, Krishna presents it as a commandment. Krishna presents Karma Yoga as a worship, we have already seen. Now, Karma Yoga is the purifying factor. We have already seen this. For antahkarna shuddhi, antahkarna naischalyam, the mental purity and steadiness, which is the qualification required for jnanam, that qualification, how can we attain? What does it mean by saying becoming mentally pure? So we naturally have this kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsaryadi, this desire, passion, anger, dozens of likes and dislikes, envy, jealousy, hatred, clinging to fear, etc. All these are naturally there in every mind. So natural emotional problems is not something wrong to have them. They are very natural. Just as it is not wrong to have headache or backache or stomachache, it is some problem, physical problem, which is natural. Similarly, there is some reason why you have these problems. There is a cause. Similarly, these are all natural emotional problems we all have. And when the problems are, why do we call them problems? Because they cause discomfort, they are disease. So that which causes discomfort is the disease, and these, when there is desire, anger, passion, greed, envy, they all cause discomfort, therefore disease. They're not wrong to have them. So these, and then we cannot manage, they can't be removed for good. All these kama krodhadi, kama krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya, etc., all these, they are said to be enemies. Now, sixfold enemies also. Shad ripavaha, shadari, shadarayaha. So all these will be resolved for good only in the wake of knowledge. Unless the knowledge takes place, these will be there. There is no way of resolving them for good or having them resolved for good. Only when all of them become resolved for good, we can call that state absolute purity. That is why nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate. There is nothing as purifying as the knowledge. Why? Because where there is knowledge, where there is atma jnanam, self-knowledge, there these sixfold enemies cannot exist. They will resolve for good. It's like light and darkness cannot coexist. Similarly here, heat and cold cannot coexist. That is why we chase the cold away here. How? By turning on our radiators. We know this. Similarly, where there is knowledge, there this anger, desire, passion, etc., they cannot be there. Where there is no knowledge, definitely they will be there. They are opposed to each other. That is why knowledge is said to be the enemy of the six. Our self-knowledge is said to be the enemy of the six. Shannam arihi, enemy of the six. Who are the six here? Knowledge is the enemy of the six. The desire, passion, anger, jealousy, hatred, all of them. You can say kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsaryadi. Shanna, matsaryadi nam, shannam, arihi, enemy. I told you once in the class long ago, in Vaishnava Sampradaya, when you go to Mahavishnu temple, they put a cap on your head. No, it's called Shadari. On the top of the thing, you can see Bhagavan's feet. The feet stand for knowledge of the Lord. Where there is Bhagavad's Sakshatkaraha, where there is knowledge of the self, there is knowledge of the truth of the universe. Where there is knowledge of the truth of the universe, there is knowledge of the Lord being the whole. Where there is Bhagavan, vision of Bhagavan being the whole, there cannot be all these sixfold enemies. Knowledge drives away these enemies. Knowledge drives away these, our enemies. These six are our enemies. Why? Because they cause they bring unhappiness. They make us sorrowful, frightened, unhappy, sad. Therefore, they are our enemies. But knowledge is their enemy. Why knowledge is enemy of the six? Because knowledge drives away those six. Therefore, only what I want to say here, only in jnanam one can have absolute purity. How pure you are. I myself am the purity myself. I am not pure, I am purity myself. Understand? That is when only in jnanam absolute purity is possible. But until for jnanam, you need to be relatively pure. For that knowledge to take place, to have absolute purity, you need to be relatively pure and steady. That for relative purity and steadiness means what? One has to, so one can be relatively pure and steady if one can manage one's thoughts in the form of desire, anger, passion, etc. The words thought management, even desire management is important. We have to manage our desires. We cannot, yesterday I explained to you very clearly, we cannot undo our desires, suppress or destroy our desires, but we can manage our desires. Once you can manage your desires, managing desires means managing your raga dveshas. We can manage our likes and dislikes. We can manage our anger. We can manage, we can only manage. We can't undo, but we can manage. Do we have to manage or not? We have to manage. How to manage? Only if we can manage our thoughts, anger, desire, etc., then we can be relatively pure and steady. Relative mental relative purity is for accomplishing the absolute purity. Where there is absolute purity, there is absolute peace and happiness. Why do we need to be absolutely pure? Absolute purity is for what? Absolute peace and happiness. Absolute purity is only in jnanam, and for which you need to become relatively pure and steady. For relative purity is possible only if you can manage your desires, anger, all your emotions. How to manage them and to be able to manage these thoughts, your desires, raga dveshas, you have to live a life of karma yoga. So it is the life, living a life of karma yoga, especially the life of karma yoga is a life completely governed by one's knowledge of values, governed by values. Only by living a life of dharma, living a life of values, one has to commit oneself to live a life of values. And when one is not able to live a life of values, see, knowing the value of living a life of values, when a person makes effort to live a life of values, if a person finds it difficult to live a life of values, then one has to pray to Bhagavan and seek Bhagavan's grace to be strong enough to be able to live a life of dharma. Therefore, as a karma yogi, one has to commit oneself to live a life of dharma, one has to live a life of values. In order to be able to live a life of values, one has to be highly prayerful, always seek Bhagavan's grace. All the time, the karma yogi will be seeking Bhagavan's grace to be able to live a life of values. Which means you understand how important it is to pray to Bhagavan, to seek Bhagavan's grace, to be able to be blessed with the strength to be able to live a life of values. Isn't it? How important it is. Therefore, prayer, highly prayerfully seeking Bhagavan's grace. By fervent prayer, he will seek Bhagavan's grace to be able to live a life of values. Thereby he will live a life of values. Therefore, karma yogi's life, there is no karma yoga if one's life, all the time, every small action one does, all his actions are not governed by values. So one has to use one's will, one has to use one's knowledge of right and wrong, thereby one can live a life of values. In spite of knowing what is right and wrong, in spite of knowing the value of living a life of dharma, if a person, one is not able to live also, one has to seek Bhagavan's grace to be able to live a life of values. And his karma yogi is the one who lives his life prayerfully, seeking Bhagavan's grace, lives a life of dharma. And because of his proper attitude of offering his actions to Bhagavan, and because of his attitude of seeing everything that comes in life as Bhagavan's prasada, because he knows everything that comes in life is determined by Bhagavan in the form of natural laws, therefore all that comes in life is prasada, because of his proper attitude. So viveka buddhihi, knowledge of attitude, entertaining the attitude of doing everything, commitment to live life of dharma. He has viveka buddhi, isn't it? Right and wrong. And then Ishwarpana buddhihi. Then Ishwara prasada buddhihi. With this attitude, he lives his life of dharma. That is how in due course of time, he can manage his mind. See, mind management, people think there's so many ways. They think if you practice meditation, you can manage your thoughts. You can free yourself from stress. I tell you, living a life of karma yoga is the really, the only means for relative relaxation, which will bless you with absolute relaxation through knowledge later on. Otherwise, doing anything else other than living a life of karma yoga to manage your stress or tension, is not the proper means. Is it stress management? What stress management? People did hundreds of ideas to manage your stress. And you had to go and pay lots of money and be there, have some nice lunch and dinner and come back, spending the whole day in some nice music where they play some nice enjoyable music. Finished. That is not the way you can manage your stress. The stress will be there throughout your life. There cannot be a life without stress. Take it. Life means stressful. There's no such thing called stress-free life. Stress will be always there. But how are you going to free yourself from stress? Only by understanding what it is. He's saying living a life of karma yoga, and by living a life of karma yoga, understand the life of karma yoga and live a life of karma yoga, you will be free from stress. Therefore, that this is all managing your thoughts. There's no way of managing. Even to manage your thoughts, to manage your likes and dislikes, that's why Ragad Vesho, these two, we're going to see later on. Ragad Veshas, our likes and dislikes, we don't have enemies outside, okay? Our own likes and dislikes are enough to create enough stress. Our own likes and dislikes, if you really analyze what is the cause for my stress, your own likes and dislikes. And likes and dislikes caused anger, etc. Therefore, you have to manage them, for which the only way is commitment to live a life of dharma. And karma yogi lives a life of dharma, dharma governed life with the proper attitude. There is Ishvara Arpana Buddhi, there is Prasada Buddhi. In accepting everything with sameness of mind, therefore he's blessed with this, the capacity to manage his thoughts. That is how he becomes relatively mentally pure and steady. Therefore, karma yoga is a purifying factor. What I said is the introduction. Now we are going to see the actual verse meaning. Yajna Sishta Shina Santaha Muchyante Sarva Kilbishaihi Bhunjate Te Twagham Papaha Ye pachantyatma karanat. Okay. See, yajna sishta ashinaha. The karma yogis, those who live a life of karma yoga, are the people yajna sishta ashinaha. Yajna sishta ashinaha means what? Ashinaha, ashinaha means those who enjoy, those who eat. Literally it means eat, those who eat. Eaters, enjoyers. Don't think of eating something here. Literally it means, ashinaha means eaters. Sishtam means remnant. The remaining, remains, whatever remains. Remains after what? Here, yajnaha. Yajnaha literally means worship, and here we should take it as what? Living a life of karma yoga is living a life of worship. When a person lives a life of karma yoga, his whole life is what? Life of worship. and living a life of karma yoga, whatever consequences, you know, he faces, he goes through in his life, he sees all those consequences, all the effects and, you know, results as living, he lives a life of karma yoga. Whatever, you know, as a consequences, whatever he faces, all of them are what, no, prasadaha. So yajna system here means yajna prasadaha. The consequences of living a life of karma yoga should be understood as what? Prasadaha. So yajna sishta ashinaha means, you know, the karma yogis who live life karma yoga take all the consequences of the life, whatever comes in life, they take it as prasada. It's only prasada. Therefore, for them, for a karma yogi, whatever comes in life is a prasadam. Therefore, he is the one who he is the eater of the prasadam of Bhagavan. He is the enjoyer of the gift from Bhagavan. Understand? Yajna Sishta Ashinaha means those who enjoy, those who have the fortune of enjoying Bhagavan's prasadam. Who, for them, the whole life, whatever, all the consequences are Bhagavan's prasadam only. Such people, Yajna Sishta Ashinaha, Sarva Kilbishaihi Muchyante. Which means what? They become free from all the papams. Kilbishaihi Muchyante. Kilbisham means papam here. Sarva Kilbishaihi Muchyante means what? They can say, ultimately, finally, they become free from all punya papams. How do they become free from all punya papams? You know, by becoming free from the wrong notion that I am the enjoyer, I am the doer. So, sarvikilbishaihi muchyante, you have to understand this way. They become free from all papams means what? They become free from all punya papams means they need not exhaust any more punya papam. Punya papams are not there for them anymore. For whom? For the wise person. The one who knows the Atma, one who knows Bhagavan, one who has understood the truth of the universe Brahma, for a wise person, there is no punyam, there is no papam. No punyam papam means what? He does not need to exhaust punya papa. Therefore, he does not need to be born again. There is no punarjanma for him. Therefore, he become free, liberated. All his punya papams will be exhausted for good. What does it mean? Does he exhaust all his punya papams? No. Just by becoming free from the notion, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, this wise person becomes free from punya papams. Please understand, whenever Shastram says, one becomes free from punya papams, you have to remember this fact. Becoming free from punya papams implies becoming free from the wrong notion that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Is it clear? Very important. So, how does a person become free from the notion, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer? By having the right knowledge of the self. Therefore, he attains jnanam, thereby he becomes free from the wrong notion that he is the doer, he is the enjoyer. Thereby he becomes free from punya papams. Thereby he becomes, or he attains jivan mukti while living, and he attains Videha Mukti after death. He becomes liberated for good. Look at the glory of Karma Yoga. Who? Yajna Sishta Ashinaha means those who live a life of karma yoga. They are said to be the enjoyers of the prasadam of Bhagavan. They are said to be seen. Why? Because for them the whole life is worship. Therefore, all that they enjoy as a consequence of living a life of karma yoga is only prasadam. So yajna sishta ashinaha karma yoginaha, sarva papaihi sarva kilbishaihi muchyante, they become free from bondage for good. How do they become for that? It's called, but before that they become free. And in this context, for them to become free from all the punya papas, that is absolute freedom, isn't it? There is relative freedom also. Here sarva kilbishaihi means, all these punyam papams, especially what is punyam, what is papam, here you have to understand. Anything which obstructs your pursuit of knowledge is papam. Anything which takes you away from pursuit of knowledge, anything which distracts your attention from pursuit of knowledge, it is papam. Anything which helps you, contributes for your spiritual progress, helps you to continue in spiritual pursuit, it is punyam. This is how we have to see punyam and papam. This is how Shastram says punyam and papam. Suppose lot of money, lot of wealth, anything which takes you away from spiritual pursuit, it is papam. If it helps you to be, even in poverty, you are able to pursue punya. If it keeps you, helps you to be spiritually inclined, that is punyam. Okay, we should understand punyam and papam that way. So here, what is that which prevents you from, what is it which obstructing you from, preventing you from spiritual, accomplishing spiritual end, from spiritual progress? Is a papam, isn't it? So here, what is all this? Kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya, the passion, pride, their anger, all this, fear, they all really are said to be what now? Papam only. So sarva kilbishaihi, they're all there. Why all these things are there? Why kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya? Because of the mohaha, delusion. What is the delusion here? Delusion is lack of discriminative knowledge. In this context, mohaha is lack of discriminative knowledge. What does it mean here? This whole universe is real. Okay? It is what is relatively real is mistaken to be absolutely real. Then what happens? You become dependent on this world for your happiness. See, these are two things. Whoever sees this universe or things or people, situations as source of unhappiness, either you see this universe as source of unhappiness or you see here things as source of happiness also, then you are wrong. Seeing this universe means seeing this universe or seeing the people or situations as source of happiness or unhappiness is because of your lack of discriminative knowledge. That which means you mistake the universe for real because of a wrong perception of the universe. Is it clear? This wrong thinking is the moha. And this moha will go for a karma yogi. Karma yogi will become free from this moha, this delusion. delusion is what you know, wrong thinking, erroneous notion. What is erroneous thinking here? Oh, this, the people and situations and the world are responsible for my unhappiness, wrong thinking. They're all responsible for my the source of happiness is also wrong. This is the moha, isn't it? Because everything here is impermanent, and therefore impermanent thing, the world is neither the source of happiness nor is it the source of unhappiness, and everything here is impermanent, and a permanent thing is something different, that alone can give me permanent happiness, not this world. When this understanding comes, isn't it, then this is what now, becoming free from moha and becoming free from what now, this managing this emotional problems, this is how one becomes free from all the papams. Here papam implies, you know, he becomes committed, he becomes totally committed to the pursuit of knowledge, because a dispassion he discovers. So karma yogi discovers dispassion. So karma yoga life helps one discover dispassion. How does he discover dispassion? By understanding the subtle facts. What are the facts he understands? This world is neither a source of happiness nor is it this responsible for my unhappiness. And therefore, this world is everything here is impermanent. Impermanent thing cannot give me permanent happiness. This fact, nitya anitya avastu vivekaha. This vivekaha comes when, only when a person lives a life of karma yoga. Understand? This discovering this dispassion, thereby, you know, becoming totally committed to the pursuit of knowledge, becoming qualified for this knowledge becomes possible only when a person lives a life of karma yoga. That is what is said here. Sarva kilbishaihi muchyante means, sarva kilbishaihi muchyante means, he becomes free from all the sins means, he becomes free from the moha. Is it clear? Delusion. That the world will not give me any more happiness. Then naturally one becomes disinterested in everything. Disinterested means becoming disinterested, dispassionate towards the world does not mean he starts hating the world. Please understand. That without any hatred towards anything, no, he naturally, he grows out of desire for worldly things. This maturity one can discover dispassion. That is why it is not something by living a life of karma yoga. Therefore, karma yoga contributes for mental, this is how karma yoga contributes for mental purity. Therefore, this shloka says, yagya sishta ashinaha santaha sarva kilbishaihi muchyante. Is it clear? Become free from all the punya papams. Therefore, the next he says, next line he says, bhunjatete twagham papaha ye pachantyatma karanat. So those who do not live a life of karma yoga, he tells both. What is the benefit of living a life of karma yoga? Later he says, what is the consequence of not living a life of karma yoga? Ye atma karanat pachanti. Pachanti literally means cooks. Cook, okay? Those who cook for themselves, what does it mean? Those who perform actions, you know, those who perform actions in order to fulfill their own likes and dislikes, in order to accomplish arthakamas, and seeking their happiness in arthakamas. They are called those who perform atma karanat pachanti. Atma Karanat Pachanti means what now? Those who perform all their actions. The Pachanam stands for all karmas. Those who perform actions. What actions? Those who perform actions in keeping with their own likes and dislikes. In order to accomplish only Arthakamas, seeking Arthakamas as their ultimate ends, and seeking happiness in Arthakamas, such people, those who do not live a life of Karma Yoga. Yeah, Atma Karanat Pachanti means definitely those who do not live a life of contribution, sharing. Those who live for their own happiness and seeking their happiness where? In Arthakamas. All of us are living for our own happiness, really speaking. But those who seek their happiness in Arthakamas, thereby those who do not live a life of Karma Yoga, such people, agam bunjate, they eat only sins. Which means what? They can't help accumulating papams, sins. Agam bunjate, agam means sin. They are the eaters of the sins. They enjoy only sins. They accumulate sins. They accumulate sins means what? There is no way of becoming free from bondage. Already they have abundance of sins, punya papams. They accumulate more and more of only papams. The more they accumulate papams, punya papams, the more they have to exhaust. The more they have to exhaust means the more they have to be born. Isn't it? They had to be born again and again and again, which means they remain trapped in samsara forever. There's no way of becoming free from bondage of karma. There's no way. Agam bunjate, those who do not live a life of karma yoga. Is it clear now? Therefore, this verse presents karma yoga as the purifying factor. So we'll go to the next one. So we have seen three factors here. Karma yoga as an order, karma yoga as worship, yajna. We have seen karma yoga as a purifying factor. Now in this following verses, two verses, Bhagavan presents karma yoga as a law and order, dharmaha. We'll see here. Annat bhavanti bhutani. Parjanyadanna sambhavah. Yajnat bhavati parjanyah. Yajna karma samudbhavah. Karma brahmodbhavam viddhi. Brahmakshara samudbhavam. Tasmat sarvagatam brahma. Nityam yajne pratishthitam. Somebody was saying, there's too much, somebody felt a little repetitive. I said, it's not I am repeating, Krishna repeats here. That is why we are going verse by verse. No way repetition, you have to repeatedly listen. So that you understand correctly. It's very subtle teaching, isn't it? See, one thing. Whether you are spiritual or not, whether you are religious or not, whether you understand, it is very important as a human being, for one, to live a life of non-violation of dharma. Violation of order. If a life, our lives had to be harmonious and peaceful, we talk about the universal harmony, There is no way of having universal harmony unless our life, the lives we live, our life is in tune with universal law and order. To maintain the ecological harmony or universal harmony, our lives must be in conformity with universal natural law and order. Therefore, how can we live our lives in conformity with universal law and order? How? What is the way? How do I know whether my life is in conformity with universal law and order? Whether the way of life I am following, the way I am living, is right or wrong? Am I knowingly or unknowingly transgressing or disturbing the rub against the universal law and order? Am I contributing for the disorder or rub, no, the disturbance in the social, the universal law and order? How to know? And Krishna says, if a person lives a life of karma yoga, then he is, or no, in tune with universal law and order, which means living in tune with universal law and order means living, you know, contributing for universal harmony. How can I contribute for universal harmony or ecological balance or harmony? Only by my living my life in tune with universal law and order. Here we have to understand, everything here is in cyclic process. Everything here is cyclic process means, in every field, everything comes because nothing is created, nothing is destroyed. So whatever is, was before, and whatever was there is now. It's a big cyclic process, isn't it? There's a law of conservation of, you know, matter and energy. So it means everything goes and comes back, cyclic process. If everything is in cyclic process, means there is an order involved, and we need to appreciate that law, that order. And here Krishna presents the order, you know, a different order which we do not see. What he says, all these living beings here, leave alone the living beings, let us take all the human beings, all these life forms, in fact our own life forms, the Purushaha, a human being, where has this come from? It is nothing but, you know, is born of food. It is born of the food essence of the parents, isn't it? And sustained by food. It is the product of food. So beings are the products of the food, means. And where has the food come from? The food is from the plants. But we can say plants directly, but originally the food has come from, it is the rains which give us the food. So how do the rains come? We may have our own ideas how we can get rains, etc. We cannot create anything here. We cannot create clouds, we cannot cause rains, we cannot create, no, nothing is creatable here. So all that great researchers and scientists, what they can do is, they can only use their buddhi, which is also not created, which is given to them, okay? The scientists who are great researchers, and they cannot create their own buddhi, they are blessed with the buddhi, they have the buddhi which is given to them. Using the buddhi which is already given to them, they can only discover what is here. They cannot create what is not here. That is why, no, they don't discover what is here. Once they discover what is here, which means they are not creating anything here. They are only discovering what is already there. And having discovered what is already there, they can make use of, they can use their buddhi which is given to them already, use that buddhi again to make use of what is available. Thereby they can really improve and develop their infrastructure to live their lives. This is what is life, isn't it? There's nothing is really created here. Nothing can be created also. This is where we become humble. You know, our buddhi is given to us, mind is given to us, and the capacity to use the buddhi is also given to us. And using that buddhi, we can discover what is, we can make use of what is, thereby we can improve, you know, our standard of life, we can improve our infrastructure, we can make our lives more and more comfortable. But we cannot discover, we cannot create luxury by discovering and improving our comforts. Isn't it? Luxury has to be discovered. The real luxury has to be discovered in terms of self-knowledge or discovery of the self. And for which, you know, for which the life has to be, for such luxury, to discover that luxury in terms of self-discovery, isn't it? We need punyam. No, great punyam we need. Tremendous amount of punyam we need. We need grace, we need Bhagavan's grace. Not little grace, isn't it? For every small thing you need grace. We are already enjoying abundance of grace. But we need limitless amount of grace to discover that luxury in terms of self-discovery. And for that grace, we need tremendous amount of punyam. Understand? For to earn that punyam, we need what? In fact, punyam, you must, our lives must be in conformity with dharma. We must contribute for, you know, we should be conscious of not violating the universal harmony. Our lives must be in conformity with dharma so that we contribute for universal harmony. For which it is very important to understand this, understand everything, you know, being in cyclic process. So here Krishna says, see how here things are. If we want to be peaceful and harmonious here, what should you have? You need to have abundance of prosperity here. Is it abundant prosperity you need? If there's prosperity everywhere, if all the countries are prosperous, everywhere prosperity, lot of food, everything is there, why do you think there'll be dacoits? Why there'll be murders? Why do there is assassinations? Why should there be any all calamities? Why should there be? Or even natural calamities, why should there be? Adi bhautika tapa, adhyatmika tapa, adi daivika tapa, all these tapas. No, the natural calamities or other problems, why there should be problems at all? Abundance of food is there. Everywhere, you know, there is prosperity. All the places are highly prosperous. Lot of food, lot of everything. Then there won't be anything. Because there will be universal harmony, universal the peace. But here, if for us to be, that's why I said yesterday, let us discover our own peace first, then think of the universal peace. Even for that, if you discover peace and happiness, fullness, as your own sarupam, then you will see everywhere peace and happiness, fullness. If you don't have fullness here, if you have not discovered fullness in your own mind, And if there is inadequacy in you, sense of inadequacy centered on I in you, then you will see inadequacy everywhere. You will see smallness everywhere. You will see everywhere the problems. Isn't it? That's also one reason. So here, here Krishna says here, your punyam you need, for a special punyam you need, to understand, let us read this verse now. Annad bhavanti bhutani. Bhutani, all these beings here, you know, come into existence from the food. It is the food, modified form of food, isn't it? Annad bhavanti bhutani. Then, parjanyad anna sambhavaha. Where do we get our food from? Ultimately, where does the food come from? Isn't it? Parjanyat. Parjanyaha means rains. If there is no, we should have enough rains, isn't it? No ativrishtihi, excess of rains. Or anavrishtihi, or drought, isn't it? There should be adequate amount of rains. We should have timely rains also. Not the unseasonal, isn't it? Timely rains we should have. Therefore, those rains, how do we get? Isn't it? Annad bhavanti bhutani parjanyad anna sambhavaha. Food is from rains. You know that. Now he says, yajnad bhavati parjanyaha. How do we get rains? We all think, how do we get rains? Who can create rains? Nowadays some scientists are working to somehow to get the rains. They try. See, they can help you get rains only if there are already clouds. They cannot create the clouds. Understand? They cannot create. Without mother and father, even no test tube will be useful. Isn't it? They need. It's not that something you can put everything, like how you make your sambar rasam and then you can't put everything, you can make that some you can't be, get a baby like this. Something must be there. Therefore, even if the scientists are capable of producing rains, there must be already clouds, because they are not capable of producing the, creating the clouds. Which means, that's why science has its own limitation. Our Shastram Veda says what now? Yajnyat bhavati parjanyaha. Rains we get from, through our punyam. The word yajnyaha should be taken as what now? Through a life of karma yoga, by living a life of karma yoga, which is a life of worship. Now you earn punyam, and through that punyam you earn. Isn't punyam you earn? There's no English word for punyam, okay? Through the punyam you earn, through by living a life of karma yoga, which is a life of worship, which is yajnaha. Here the word yajna stands for what now? Life of karma yoga, a life of worship. The result of living like karma yoga, punyam, is also what? Yajna. Only by your punyam we get our rains. Understand? Suppose, to measure the ecological balance, all the planets are in their proper orbits and everything is in this proper condition. How do we always, those days, the scale used to measure the ecological balance was rains. You know, rains, they always see, if we get proper timely rains, enough amount of rains, not more than what we need, not less than what we need, not that drought. If we have proper, timely rains, enough, adequate amount of rains at proper times, then we say, okay, everything is in proper order. If rains fail or if floods come, then we understand there is ecological imbalance. There is some universal harmony is disturbed. This violation of universal harmony, that is why we have what now? Floods. And then they come and destroy. Or that is why we have drought, no water at all. All these problems, isn't it? So rains, see the amount of rains, timely rains we get, based on it only, we understand even the Shastram, you know, in India. Usually they always talk about it. Oh, people are not dharmic, that is why the rains fail. For them it's a measure. Now rain, they use this as a scaling measure to understand, oh, rains are there. So here also, Bhagavan says here what now? Yajnyat bhavati parjanyaha. We understand, rains will be there. Rains we get through our punyam. Our punyam translated is what? Rains. Which rains? Not ativrishtihi. Not anavrishtihi. But it is not the adequate amount of rains. Timely, no, rains. Parjanyaha. For yajnyaha karma samudbhavaha. Yajnaha karma samudbhavaha. How do we earn punyam? By living a life of karma yoga, which is a life of worship. Therefore, a karma yoga itself is simply by the term yajna. And the punyam you acquire by living a karma yoga is also simply by the word yajnaha. So yajnat bhavati parjanyaha. You know, yajnaha, how can you yajnaha, how can you earn punyam here? Karma samudbhavaha. Only through karma. Through karma means what? Through the performance of karma as yoga, you accumulate punyam. Through punyam, you get rains. From rains, you get food. And from food, these beings are here. Now, karma brahma udbhavam vidhi. Are you all tired of, you want tea now? Tea break? Okay. Om shanti shanti shanti.